what we will do then. We actually, last night, we began a two-part seminar, really. It was meant to be a three-part seminar, but unfortunately we missed, what, Monday? No, I'll just keep it here. It's about... getting and giving different types of association. Thank you. Merci beaucoup. So, Hare Krishna. Yes, it's all about getting and giving association. Last night we talked about getting and giving, or giving and getting, good association. And this evening we're actually going to focus more on giving and getting bad association. What do you think of that? Negativity and that sort of idea. Yeah, but you know, it'll be somewhat rounded. We'll definitely include some things about good association. Let's just have a look here at our notes. What now? What have we done? Okay. Right, so devotees, let's begin. You can first of all repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 So, getting and giving, or giving and getting, bad association, just a sec. Yeah, okay. Okay, let's see. So now, devotees. Now, I don't know how knowledgeable you all are, some of you are. Just checking you out. To some degree, maybe. Yeah, you know. But I'm going to ask for some... what, examples? From our scriptures of people, or devotees actually, particularly, or just people, who received bad association, and as a result of that, their consciousness, or even their Krishna consciousness, became really compromised, and maybe they just lost their Krishna consciousness or their good consciousness. Let's see if you can think of any examples. Some of you, like if you've read Srimad Bhagavatam, then I'm sure you would be able to come up with a number of very good examples. If not, just hang in there and you know, we'll discuss it a bit in a couple of minutes. So who can give me an example? one from Srimad Bhagavatam of someone who was a devotee, actually, a devotee. But they got, that person got some bad association, and as a result, their state of mind, their thinking and everything, it really deteriorated and became materialistic, you know, yeah, like that. Who can think of it? An example? Yes. Nilachala Prabhu.
Ajamil.
Okay, very good. Ajamil, actually, he's the first one on my list. Have you got my list? Ajamil. You know, if you haven't read Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, you might not have heard of him. Ajamil is described in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and he, without telling the whole story, actually the whole story is extremely interesting and important, but just in this context of bad association, what happened was that he was born in a very good devotee family, and he was brought up and trained as a very good young devotee. And he was a very good devotee. But, when he became an adult, he married a very good devotee young lady, and it was just, you know, it appeared to be just an excellent type of situation. But then, unfortunately, he got some bad association. What happened was that he simply saw, it was actually a prostitute, and sort of, you know, so to speak, one of her customers, in the forest somewhere. And somehow or other, he was not used to such things at all. And somehow or other, it made such an impact on him, he couldn't get it out of his mind. And he actually couldn't get her out of his mind. And eventually, he actually married her, although she continued as a prostitute to supplement the income. Supplementary income always helps, doesn't it? Anyway, so what a situation. He would send her out. You know, we need more income. Get out there. Bring in the cash. Because it's a cash business, usually, I hear. So he, in order to maintain her, he became a criminal. He became a criminal. And he became like a really drastic criminal. He became a killer. And really, really terrible. And it's a long story, actually. If you want to read it, it's the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First, second, and third chapters, mainly. Eventually, he was delivered. Like I said, it's a long story, and our business is not really to go into that, but more just the fact that through bad association, even though he was like quite a fine young devotee gentleman, but he became deeply corrupted, very heavily corrupted. Let's see if someone else can think of another example. Can you think of an example? Oh, yes, you can. From last night? You're right, see, I told you. It's another type of story, but this is the same principle. that he was even a very great devotee. Maybe not on the most elevated level, but getting quite close to the highest levels. He was in the higher levels, for sure, of Krishna consciousness, spiritual consciousness and realization. And to the point that, well, he was the king of the whole planet, so extremely powerful and extremely wealthy position, extremely, to make someone like Bill Gates or whoever, Mr. Zuma perhaps, but anyway, maybe not Zuma, maybe he hasn't had it, Mr. Mugabe, yes, Mr. Mugabe, would make him look like, you know, a poverty-stricken chappy, you know, in the gutter. Really, just another dimension of opulence and authority and power. But at the same time, a very, very great and sincere devotee. So to the point that in his later years, like late middle age, coming into old age, he left everything in order to focus on his spiritual life, going into the final years of his life. So he went off into the forest. And again, it's another one of our long stories. We have many long stories. But he somehow became attached to a deer, a wild animal, a baby deer who had just lost his or her mother. And a nice feeling of wanting to look after a helpless creature. But then he got completely carried away. And as a result of that association, and, well, you could say of accepting that association, accepting meaning really taking it into your heart. It's one thing to spend time with people and chat with people sometimes, or maybe in business you have some customers, but it's a business relationship. It's not on the level of the heart so much. And it's another thing if the relationship really goes into the heart. And this is what happened with Bharat Maharaj. And the result of that was, in his next life, he had to take birth as a deer. Because as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, whatever state of being one remembers when one dies, one will attain to that state without fail. It's not like maybe, or, you know, there's a certain percentage possibility, but that's just it. Let's see now. Can anyone else think of an example? Another one of the gentlemen. Yes.
Kaikei.
That's a good example. If you're familiar with the story of Lord Ram, Lord Ramachandra, his father Dasarath had three wives, and one of them was Kaikeyi, who was actually a very nice lady, an extremely nice lady, to say the least, but she somehow, again, it's another long story, but she somehow got the association of a very envious person, and she became influenced by that. And so she, at least for some time, she turned against Ram. If you're familiar with the story of Lord Ram, you would know what I mean. But this is, again, association. Ladies, any other lady, an example? I can mention a few
How about, this is an interesting one, Bhishma. You know who Bhishma is? The sort of grandfather, or not really grandfather, but senior relative of Arjuna and the Pandava brothers, Yudhisthira and company. Bhishma. He was, because their father died young, he pretty much took charge of their upbringing and looking after them in the middle of great intrigue and difficulty. So he was, so to speak, really on their side. He was really looking after them. But then at a certain point, he started associating with Duryodhan, who was the leader of the bad guys, so to speak. And interesting little point, Duryodhan, even though he was royalty, and, you know, also just great opulence and whatever he wanted at his command, but he had a hobby. His hobby was he liked to cook. Although he could have a whole team of cooks any time, day or night, but he liked to cook himself, and he would cook regularly for the family. And Bhishma was in that circle, and he would eat the food that Duryodhan had cooked. And, so a person, when a person cooks, then, I mean, in a sense, whatever a person does, if they really put their heart into it, some of themselves goes into it. But particularly when you cook, if you really get into it, some of you goes into your cooking and what you cook. And then when the people eat what you've cooked, they will take part of you into them. And then, of course, they will reflect that in due course. And this is why in scripture, and Srila Prabhupada himself mentioned on a number of occasions, we should, as much as possible, and always if possible, we should only eat food cooked by devotees, because their hearts have gone into it. And when you eat what they cook, then you'll pick up some of their devotion and their love for Krishna. And it particularly applies to grains. Grains meaning like wheat products, breads, rice, and particularly those two. But breads, grains in general. And Prabhupada in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he, in one purport, Prabhupada advises, devotees shouldn't eat food cooked, grains cooked by non-devotees. And Prabhupada says, if you do, your mind may become wicked. Yeah, wicked. Not just like a ton of bricks descending on your head, but, you know, something a lot more subtle and insidious, nasty. Yeah, this is a very important point. So that was Bhishma. Let me just mention another. One example who you may have heard of. Have you heard of Dwivida the gorilla, who was killed by, I guess it was Krishna. Yeah, I think it was Krishna. Balaram? Almost Balaram. He was killed by Balaram. Okay. So anyway, Dwivida the gorilla. It's very interesting. It's really very interesting. He was present at the time that Lord Ram was present on the planet. And he was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And in Ramayana, if you get access to the actual complete Ramayana, which is not easy, then you will find prayers, the prayers of Dwivedha. They're very beautiful prayers of a great devotee. But Dwivedha, he got the bad association, if I remember correctly, of Banasura. And when Krishna, and he remained living from that time of Lord Ram, an awfully long time ago, till the time of Lord Krishna 5,000 years ago, he was still living. But when the same Lord Ram appeared as Lord Krishna, Dwivedha, through the association of Banasura, had become a demon, a really, really bad demon, and tried to kill the Lord. This is association. If we take it a step further, listen to this one. When Lord Varaha delivered the Earth planet, which had fallen into the Garbhodak ocean at the bottom of the universe, well, it put it this way, Varaha, the eternal consort, wife of Varaha, is Bhumi. Is Bhumi. Bhumi Varaha, like Radha Krishna, Sita Ram, Lakshmi Narayan. Bhumi Varaha. A son was born. That son also got the association of Banasura, an influential demon, and became Narakasura. He became Narakasura, who was killed by Krishna. Yeah, association. It's really bad association. You know, on the other hand, of course, last night we were talking about good association. And through good association, some, you know, very difficult or even you'd think impossible people became really great devotees. I'll just mention one classic example, who many of you would have heard of, is Valmiki, who compiled the Ramayana. Valmiki, prior to his becoming a devotee, he was a criminal, severe and drastic criminal, killer, just casual killer. But he met Narada Muni. And Narada Muni somehow managed to touch his heart. Again, it's a bit of a long story, but Narada Muni convinced him. Narada Muni, first of all, convinced him that, look, you are going to get reactions for all these things. All these criminal activities, and particularly killing people and all these things, you are just going to get very severe reactions, very severe. And Valmiki said, but I am just doing it to support my wife and family. They should share the reactions with me at least. And Narada Muni said, well, go and ask them if they would be ready to. So he went and asked them, and they told him, forget it. No, it's your duty to maintain us. We don't, you know, insist that you must maintain us in this way or that. That's your choice. So we're not going to take any reactions for you. And so Narada Muni convinced him to give up his wrong ways and to become a devotee. And So how to do that? And Narada Muni told him, well, chant the names of God. He couldn't do it. Because when a person's consciousness becomes sort of, you know, twisted enough to a, you know, certain degree sufficiently warped and just, you know, like wholesale corrupted, the mind becomes unable to chant any name of God. This is why, well, you know, it's something most of you wouldn't be familiar with, but when Lord Chaitanya met Prakashananda Saraswati, who was a Mayavadi, who was anti-Krishna, very anti, so he couldn't, Prakashananda Saraswati, well, Lord Chaitanya was known as Krishna Chaitanya. Prakashananda couldn't pronounce the Krishna part. He could only pronounce the Chaitanya part because Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna. So, yes, so there we were with Valmiki. He couldn't chant a name of God. He wanted to, but he just couldn't get his mouth to cooperate or his mind. So Narada Muni told him, then chant Mara, which is a name which means death. And Valmiki felt like, yeah, hey, that's right up my alley. I can do that. So he started chanting Mara, Mara, Mara. Yes, very good. Death, death, death. Little did he know that Ma-ra is Ra-ma around the other way. And ultimately, at least on a certain level, even the sequence of the syllables of a name of the Lord, even if the sequence is wrong, but even the sequence doesn't really matter. As long as the syllables are there. Even if the syllables are not just around the wrong way, like Mara instead of Rama, but even if there are other syllables in between, then, but still one gets, if not ultimate benefit, but considerable benefit. In this regard, one of our devotees noted a very interesting point about the previous American, immediate previous American president. Listen to this. Barack Obama. Do you get it? Did you get it? Or not? Ra-ma. Is there, although there are syllables in between. Or you may use a name of God to indicate something else. Like the classic one that I'm familiar with is Rama Margarine. It's all over the world, you know, I go all over. It's all over Russia from one end to the other. It's just all over the world. And people are, because people are into it. And people want Rama. Not some other, get Rama. You know, why did you get this? Why didn't you get Rama? Yeah, seriously. So there we were again with Valmiki. And so through this chanting, gradually it filtered through and it actually became Rama, 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 Rama. And he became the great devotee. Very great. who realized the whole Ramayana before Lord Ram had appeared, and who was even living at the time Lord Ram appeared, and who presented Ramayana to Lord Ram. Yeah. So bad association. So that was good association. Getting back to bad association. Let me just mention a couple of examples. One example, which is given by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of our great acharyas, is that he talks about the demons killed by Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. There's about 20 or so of them. One of them was Kaliya, the serpent, who actually was not killed by Krishna, but Krishna delivered him. He almost killed him. Kaliya represents, or all those demons represent different anathas, what are called anathas, or unwanted, undesirable, detrimental, usually types of consciousness, types of attitudes and ways of thinking and perspectives on things, which can just damage your Krishna consciousness. Kaliya represents the tendency to, in a sort of figurative sense, to poison the hearts of the devotees. Figuratively, not literally, by poisonous talk. There's a saying, you may not have heard it before, the ear is a very easy target, and the tongue, which is, you know, accesses the ear, the tongue is a very amazing weapon. All the tongue has to do is be in range. Doesn't even have to be aimed in any particular direction. It just has to be in range of the target. And it hits the target. And if any of you have had the experience of walking just being somewhere, and maybe you're just walking in a house or somewhere, and you hear people talking about yourself. Have you ever had that experience? And suddenly, whoa, what is this? And you tune right in. So, you know, if they're talking about you, particularly in a negative sense, obviously they don't want you to hear. But the thing is, the weapon, the tongue, was in range. And that's all that you need. That's all you need. For the ear to be in range of the tongue, and it inevitably hits the target. Yeah. So, bad talk about devotees, unless you're kind of experienced with these things and you know how it works, and therefore you know how to avoid it, being affected by it. Otherwise, it's so easy, so incredibly easy to be affected by poisonous talk. Let me give you a subtle example. Well, an example. Someone has, you know, oftentimes the person who is being complained about, not always, but oftentimes, is the temple president. But it can be someone else too. It can be anyone. So someone gets a bit of a bee under their bonnet about the temple president, and so they start gossiping, rumor mongering, or just gossiping, negative talk. And so that person who's talking like that comes up to you and says, "You know the temple president." Not our one, of course, because he's beyond reproach. But anyway, just wherever this may be, "You know the temple president, such and such." "Yes, yes, I know. I know him or her." "Well, he's a really nice devotee." "Yes, yes, very nice. But..." And then comes the poison. And it can be quite subtle. It doesn't have to be like, "He's a big cheater and a liar and a criminal," or something, you know, heavy. It can be subtle stuff. Like, "He, you know, sometimes I had a problem I wanted to explain. Didn't give me enough time." And, you know, it's a more subtle than a kind of brutal type of criticism. But, you know, if you sit there and hear it and hear it and hear it, you can know that your heart has been contaminated. At least one way you will know is that the next time you see, shall we say, that temple president, you're walking along, "Here comes the temple president. And, you know, just a little while ago you were hearing all these things." So you know you've been contaminated, you've been affected. If, when you see him, immediately there's a feeling like, there he is, that bad devotee, that bad person. Let me turn the other way and get away from him. Yes. So this is poisonous talk. And it's particularly bad. And it's particularly bad any time. But it's particularly bad in the association of devotees. Because here we're talking about how these things may work in the association of devotees. So it's particularly dangerous because negative talk about other devotees. It's one thing if it's true. If you see devotee X smoking a cigarette, actually, and then you go and tell someone that this is what I saw, it's not exactly blasphemy. It may be, you know, sort of unnecessary. You don't need to just go and start telling everyone. If you want to help the devotee, you could go and tell a senior devotee who can go and try and help them, preach to them, help them to get out of that habit if somehow they've fallen into it. So it may not necessarily be blasphemy. Blasphemy is more just like outright criticism and particularly baseless and just rumors and just being unpleasant and trying to get at a person. That's blasphemy. Just as an interesting little side note about blasphemy, if you read Nectar of Devotion, you'll find blasphemy is discussed in a few places. And Srila Rupa Goswami, the author, he says, let me tell you about what he says about blasphemy and dealing with people who are blasphemers. Fasten your seatbelts. Are your seatbelts fastened? Is your seatbelt fastened? Okay. So Rupa Goswami says, if you hear blasphemy, then first thing you should do is kill the person. Simple solution. Done. If you can't bring yourself to do that, kill yourself. If you can't bring yourself to do that, cut out the tongue of the blasphemer. If you can't physically do it or, you know, whatever, just get away. Just get away. Yeah, just get away. And ideally, as soon as you hear, like, you know, the discussion is going in a little negative direction about some other person, either sort of arrest the conversation by saying, look, you know, let's talk about something else, or get away. Actually get away. Yeah. Raghunath yes. Sweta Dweet Prabhu Haribol. What time should we go into the further proceedings? It's maintenant, wheat, maintenant, 5 minutes. Okay. So, where were we? Raghunath Das Goswami. He talks about blasphemy. And he says that some devotees may be sitting together and talking in negative ways about another devotee. And you may come along and recognize, hey, this is not right. They shouldn't be doing this. And you may try to interrupt them and tell them that, you know, this is not right. Please don't do this. But they may say, no, 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 we are talking about a devotee. This is Bhakta Katha. It is a form of Krishna Katha. We're talking about this devotee and how he or she can improve themselves. It's very good. So he says like this, Raghunath Das Goswami. He says that they may think that we are purifying ourselves by talking about a devotee. Just like when you take a bath, if you take a shower particularly, then you physically, you're purifying your physical system. So they may think we are purifying ourselves by bathing our consciousness in remembrance of a devotee. And Raghunath Das Goswami says, yes, it is like bathing yourself. But it is like bathing yourself in donkey urine. Hare Krishna. I don't think we need to say more about that. So, I've got to conclude. So we should really try and be good association and try and get good association amongst devotees and not be bad association and avoid bad association. We shouldn't be one of those devotees who, when the other devotees see you, they think, oh no, it's him again. What? I have something to do. Oh yes, I'm very busy, I'll see you later. We don't want to become that sort of person that people want to avoid. That's just a disaster, actually. It means your life is already a disaster. We should try and be nice. And even, we mentioned last night, actually, We should try to learn how to be nice with those who are not nice to us. That's the test. You know, Prabhupada mentioned the American Marines and the American Army, the heavy soldier guys. They have a sort of a slogan or a motto. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. You only really understand what a devotee is like when things become difficult. When things are fine and everyone, Prabhupada even said, when everything is going nicely, anyone can chant and dance Hari Hari Bol. But when the going gets difficult, when there's tests, if there's some challenge, if even there's some offense to you directly, then you see what is the caliber of the devotee in terms of how they can deal with it. Let me close by telling you one little story about a cranky preacher who was, he was very knowledgeable, but he was very difficult. He was actually a bit too difficult. It's just, I stumbled on the story again. I hadn't seen it for years. And I thought, wow, yeah, this is such a good little story of what we don't want to be like. What we do not want to be like. So there's this preacher. He was an expert talker. He could make people laugh. He could make people cry. He was brilliant. But he was very difficult. And, you know, if he didn't like the audience, he'd just stop in the middle and just walk out. Yeah. So one day, there was one village. They wanted to invite him because he had such a reputation for being such an expert speaker. So they invited him, please give a lecture. He came. So he sat down. He said, so, do you know what I'm going to talk about? Do you know? Do you know? No, we don't. Well, then why should I tell you? And he walked out. And that was it. End of program. They, somehow, a little later, I mean, some weeks later, they pacified him and invited him again, and he agreed. He came back. This time they were ready. So, you know what I'm going to talk about? Do you know? You know what the subject is? Yes, yes, we know. Well, then there's no need to tell you. And he walked out again. Somehow they pacified him some time later and invited him again. This time they thought they were more ready. So, you know what I'm going to talk about? Do you know? What am I going to talk about? Half of them said, we know, we know. The other half said, we don't know. He said, well, those who know tell those who don't know, and see you later. And he was out again. So we don't want to be cranky people. I mean, excuse me, I don't think anyone's going to be quite that cranky. But we don't want to be cranky. We want to be nice. We want to be nice. Because if you're cranky, it tends to come back on you. Well, it won't tend to come back. It just will come back, that's all. And when it comes back, my God, it can hurt. Wow. It can hurt so bad. So bad. And that's Krishna's technique. One of his techniques. If all else fails, Krishna's technique is make you feel so much pain because of your nonsense, that you just feel you're forced to, you cannot continue with your nonsense. You just have to stop as a matter of survival. As a matter of survival, you just have to stop. So, Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yes, our temple president, Swetadweep Prabhu, will address us. I will sing Namaste.